Tonight is our final sermon on discouragement's recovery. I want to read it, Psalm 42. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I do want to just review a little bit. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Now, the confidence that David is going to have in God, in realizing that he's the one that he has to go to be recovered from being down, being discouraged, being troubled. I believe that comes out of a genuine relationship with God. If you're saved by the grace of God, you ought to thirst for God. You ought to desire Him. You ought to love His Word. You ought to love coming to His house. You ought to love being with His people, worshiping. You ought to love being able to go to the throne of grace in time of need. See, Christianity is not just a system of doctrinal points that we believe. It is a relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ. And if you know Him and you feel it, you know it in your heart, your mind, and your soul that He's changed you by His power, He's forgiven you of all your sins, and you're on your way to glory, it ought to make you thirst for His presence and desire Him more. He says in verse 5, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." One thing I love about that statement is the hope that's in David's voice, that's in his heart. He is not so far down that he's lost his understanding that God has him, that he's never forsaken him, that he will yet praise him. That, yes, he may be down right now. And he experienced a lot of valleys and furnaces and difficulties. But through them all, he could say, "I shall yet praise Him. He's my health. He's my strength. He's my encouragement. He's my empowerment." So he never lost hope. And nor should we. He says in verse 6, "O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and from the hill Mizar." Deep calleth, he says, "Lord, I'm cast down, but I remember you. I've not forgotten your mercies. I've not forgotten the fact that you drew me out of the miry pit, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Lord, I remember all that you've done for me." Dear saint of God, if you're going through difficulty, don't get so far down that you fail to remember what God has done in your life. "Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me." It's as though he is overwhelmed with trial, trouble, discouragement. And yet he says, "Yet, yes, it feels like I can barely keep my head above water, Lord. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life." He's with me day and night. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? You know, David is so brutally honest, isn't he? Lord, I feel like you've forgotten me. I'm being overwhelmed. So he's going, he's telling you how discouraged he is, and yet then he says, but I'll yet praise him. Oh, I'm weighed down. It feels like I'm overwhelmed, yet I'm going to remember him. But Lord, why have you forgotten me? You ever felt like that? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? This pained him. His enemies were kicking him when he was down. It's like a sword in his bones. And then he repeats in verse 11, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. He says in chapter 43 and verse 3, O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. What a great thing to pray for. Lord, give me light. Lead me into truth. Help me to go to your holy hill and rejoice in your presence. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. And he couldn't let this go. Look what he said in verse 5. He repeats it again. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. We've covered a lot of ground. We've looked at the reality of discouragement, the reasons why we often get discouraged. And then we've spent several weeks on the remedy. And you'll notice everything about the remedy for discouragement, what's it all revolve around? God. He keeps saying, thou art my God. I believe that the final remedy for discouragement and despondency is something we don't think enough about. And that is the bright prospect of the future. A lot of times you allow yourself, so do I, you allow yourself to get weighed down, mired down in this world, in the news, in politics, sports, whatever it may be that distracts people. We get weighed down. Get distracted. Get your mind off the Lord. And how often do you, when you're really going through it, do you start thinking, you know what? This isn't all there is. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. On our worst day, we're still saved. On our very worst day, as bad as things can get, as far as we think and as far as we're concerned, on our very worst day, we're still saved. We're washed in the blood. Sins are forgiven. Spirit indwelt. Promises found in the Word of God. All of it's ours. In Christ Jesus. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Everything. All spiritual blessings. And I'll go beyond that. What a blessing to see God sustain us. You know, I don't think I've ever had to beg for food. My whole life, God has provided in every situation. I often think about how fortunate I am to live in this country. They're eating zoo animals in Venezuela. That's the Marxist socialist vision. It comes down to that their money means nothing and they're eating zoo animals. And I hate it for them. And I thank God that I was born in America, where we take for granted so many freedoms, so many blessings. And we ought to be convicted about it. I get really aggravated at people who are always complaining and criticizing the United States of America. We got a lot of people in our country that feel like they're entitled. I'm not entitled to anything. The only thing I deserve is the wrath of God. Everything else is mercy and grace. What I'm trying to tell you is, don't let yourself turn into somebody that's always complaining about your troubles, your trials, what you don't have, that you feel like you should have. I'm going to say this as clearly as I can. You've got everything the Lord wants you to have. And He's told us to be content with food and raiment. We got a lot more than that. I got 2 Wednesday night outfits. I rotate them every other Wednesday. You may get tired of it. I bet you now people are going to look on Facebook, well, I wonder which Wednesday night he's wearing tonight. I wear the same thing. I've been doing this for years. But hey, I got 2 Wednesday night outfits. I got 4 Sunday morning suits. Sunday morning, Sunday night suits. Change them. I got it on schedule. 4 suits. What a blessing. We got so much to be thankful for. To keep us from getting discouraged. Just in the physical realm, much more in the spiritual realm. But what about the future? In the midst of his troubles, the psalmist could say, "For I shall yet praise him, my God." Those who belong to the Lord are promised a grand and glorious future. Our troubled sighs will soon be turned to songs of glory. Our mournful woes will soon be turned to triumph. Yes, the righteous must suffer many afflictions during this life. But God has promised that He will deliver them out of them all. When I go to the hospital bed and I know it's a dire situation, I pray for deliverance. I know that God is either going to deliver them and restore them to health and enable them to serve some more time or spare their life so that the Lord will save them, or If there's His, He may deliver them by taking them to glory. A dear sister, I think Jim and Terry Evans are probably younger than me. When I was I think I was 26, 27 years old, in that little mission building. And here comes this young couple, fresh-faced, never had heard about the doctrines of grace, and they sat there with maybe 10 other people at the beginning, and God worked in their hearts in a mighty way, revealed a lot of truth to them. And you think that people that are younger than you, that you know, sometimes you think they're just going to live forever. And yet I got word last week that a germ had infected her body. And she's with the Lord. Her deliverance came, and she got a couple of little grandkids. You never know when the Lord's going to take you home. But she was delivered, and she's right now, I wouldn't wish her back for anything. I know her husband. They were devoted to one another. They were high school sweethearts. Loved one another deeply. Raised a good family in church. I know they're all hurting, but she's not. She is in the presence of the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So don't fear death. It may come when you least expect it. But if you're saved, you got something to look forward to. The bright prospect of the future. You see, there's coming a day of final deliverance, a day of eternal adjustment, a day when the suffering, the sorrow, the discouragement of the righteous will cease forever. We are promised an eternal day when sorrow and crying will disappear in the midst of the glory of the Lord. A day when there'll be no more night, when the glory of the Lord will shine on us throughout the eternal ages. There is coming a grand, a glorious day when we'll take our places around the throne of God and lift up our voices in eternal praise with all the blood-washed throng to the One who loved us, gave Himself for us, chose us in electing grace. We're going to be in His presence. Without any regrets, standing there with every one of God's elect, Jesus is going to be able to say to the Father, "Behold, I and the children which Thou hast given me, I haven't lost a one of them. Every one that You chose in the covenant of grace, every single one of them are dressed in spotless white with the righteousness that I freely purchased for them. Not one of them's been left behind. Multitudes, which no man can number." You look at Revelation, and we're going to be right there with Him exalting our Lord. We're going to be transported from these streets of sorrow and heartache to walk on streets of pure gold where hallelujahs are going to resound. There's coming a day of jubilee when we shall be released from the very presence of sin. Everything that disappoints, that hurts, that makes us despair and discouraged and in pain, all gone. There's no flesh anymore. We'll no longer experience the bondage of the flesh ever again, for we shall be perfectly conformed to the image of our lovely Lord. We can say with David, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. There's going to come a day when we shall be forever delivered from the poverty of this world to enter into the fullness of our inheritance. How full is it? Paul said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Yes, sir. We're heirs. We're joint heirs with Christ and heirs of God. And we're going to be, can you imagine being completely, forever satisfied and content in the presence of our Lord? I long to have just complete satisfaction, complete contentment. Say, well, I mean, it feels like there's times in my life where I got my list. And I get this done, I get that done, but I leave things undone. I'm never going to feel that ever again. Because I'm complete in Him for all eternity. I'll never again dwell on my failures. Because that can bring you down. Let us learn to feed our souls on the prospect of future bliss and glory. And I don't believe discouragement will find a place in our lives if we're able to focus on the coming of the Lord and the glories of heaven. I've tried to show that discouragement is a reality in everyone's life and give several reasons for the blight of discouragement. And I pray that each saint of God that's took the time to listen to this series would take great comfort in knowing that there are several remedies for the disease and of discouragement if only we'll rightly divide the word of truth and appropriate His promises to our lives. May God give us grace to realize that He is a God who is able to deliver us from the snares of discouragement. And may we realize that our present troubles, no matter how difficult they may be, are not comparable to our future triumphs in glory. Job said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Isaiah said, "I shall see the King in his beauty, and behold the Lamb that is very far off." Take heart, take comfort, dear child of God. He is the health of our countenance and our God.